Over the last couple of weeks, we've been chatting about the amazing blessings that God has ready and waiting for you amidst the realities of your life. But the truth is that in order to lay hold of those blessings, we need to look at things differently from His perspective, not from ours. And when we do that, it changes everything. Those blessings all of a sudden become real. They start happening in our lives and other people notice. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome again to the program. Today we're going to take another look at how God wants to bless you from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about a free daily resource to help you actually lay hold of God's abundant blessings amidst the realities of your life. Over the course of this week on the program, we've been looking at what Jesus means by blessing as we've joined the crowds on that mount somewhere near the Sea of Galilee and listened intently to that famous sermon that he preached there about blessing, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the crowds, the thousands, had come from far and wide. Whole villages had shut down and been emptied out. People were there giving up a day's wages to come and to see and to hear this amazing Jesus. For the most part, they were humble folk, simple folk, farmers, labourers, unimportant people in the geopolitical scheme of things. I mean, the Roman Empire, Caesar, power, wealth, might. These people were of no significance, no consequence at all to the empire. And generation after generation of them lived their simple lives in the most meagre of circumstances. And today, this day, they've left their homes and their workplaces and come to hear this Jesus, come to see this amazing miracle man heal and bless and speak the most profound truths into their lives. They've come, why? Hoping to be blessed, hoping beyond all hope somehow to be lifted up out of the yoke of oppression, political, social, economic oppression in which they live their short, boring little lives. They've come to see and to hear and to judge for themselves this extraordinary man, Jesus. Will today be the day that I'm going to be blessed, they wonder. And Jesus stands up and says to these people, these very people, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." Do you see how this Jesus is speaking right into the realities of their lives, into the challenges, into the powerlessness, into their pain, into their desire to see some justice, into all their difficult circumstances, into the persecution they suffer under the empire for believing as they do in the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob? As we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Jesus has come along and turned the world upside down. He's opened, as it were, the door of heaven and invited them in for a moment to stand on the balcony of heaven and to look down and to see their lives from God's perspective. He's spoken the blessing of God into their very lives. But the last thing he has to say in this part of his message, the thing that we're going to look at right now, is maybe the most foreign, the most difficult for them to understand, the most unbelievable of all. Having spoken the extraordinary blessing of his Father in heaven into their meagre, insignificant and difficult lives, this is now what he says to them, beginning at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's not good for anything. It's thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A city built on a hill can't be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but instead on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Just think, in their bland subsistence world, in a world where they ate the same boring foods day after day after day, in a world devoid of culinary diversity, the sort that we're used to in the affluent West in the 21st century, flavour was everything. It stood out. You noticed it. And the main way that they would enhance flavour, the way that it stood out from the blandness, was to use what? Salt. Sea salt. Jesus says to them, "You are the salt of the earth." And when the sun went down, there were no city lights, there were no neon signs, there were no 50-inch plasma television screens dotted around the house, there weren't even any electric light globes hanging off the ceilings. When the sun went down, it was pitch black, except for a small candle in the house and maybe a fire. So a candle stood out, it punctuated the darkness. And a city, well, a city with all its candles and small fires, it stood out for miles. "You," said Jesus to them, "you are the light of the world." Now, put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Poor, insignificant peasants leading the same bland and insignificant lives that their forefathers had lived in that same place for generations. The same life they were going to live for their short 30 or 40 years on this earth. The same lives that their children and their children's children would surely live for generations to come. And Jesus says to them, can you believe this? He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are what brings flavour. You are the light of the world. You bring light into the darkness." But they were asking themselves, what? What does he mean? This is us he's talking to here. Me, salt, me, light, insignificant me. What did Jesus mean by this? Why did he say this to those people? Well, here's what Jesus meant. Jesus was saying to them, "I'm here to turn your boring little world upside down, because when you believe in me, when you hear my words and live them, when you follow the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, my Father in heaven, through me, something happens to you. You change. All of a sudden, you become the salt in the bland, tasteless, unchanging subsistence world of the people around you. All of a sudden, through your relationship with me, you add flavour to people's lives, because when they're poor in spirit, when they're mourning, when they're powerless, when they're hungering and thirsting for justice, when they're being persecuted, you can be the blessing. You are the blessing, because I'm in you and you're in me. You stand out like salt on the lamb roast. It's as though you become a light in this dark world. You are the light of the world, because I am the light of the world. You bring flavour and light and meaning and warmth and goodness and kindness and love into this dark, mundane, insignificant corner of the world in which you live. You are the salt. You are the light. You the marginalised. You the oppressed. You the simple. You the uneducated. You the lowest of the low in the geopolitical scheme of things have a significance that you just don't understand. Because you are in me, and I have something for you to do. Do you see the scene now? Do you hear the power? Do you hear the awesome power of what Jesus is saying? Do you see what it meant to those who were there on that day listening? And do you hear? Do you hear Jesus saying these very same things to you today? Do you hear the blessing? Do you see the opportunity? Are you getting some inkling of his plan for your life? A plan to be with him and to be in him, and through him to have an impact in this place. You're not insignificant. You're not boring. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's Jesus' plan for your life. Yeah. Now you. Before we go, let me ask you this. Would you like to draw closer to God into a rich, intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus? Would you like to receive God's abundant blessing and his extravagant grace into your life? Well, that's what our free daily e-devotional, Fresh, is all about. Words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio or watch the daily 3-minute video. It's completely up to you. A short daily devotional to take you closer to God by getting deeper into his word, God's word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time Monday. Goodbye. with a different perspective.